real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
A Fianna Fáil TD has called for legal action to be taken against people joking about having the coronavirus while deliberately coughing into other people's faces. A Kildare North TD, James Lawless, said thugs are taking videos of themselves coughing into people's faces and posting them online as part of the so-called Corona Challenge or COVID Challenge. And it's, well, a disgusting thing for people to be doing. On the line is James Lawless TD. James, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
This is absolutely disgusting. Now, I know under Section 6 you mentioned of the Non-Fatal Offences Against a Persons Act 1997, it is an offence to spray, pour or put onto a person blood or any fluid or substance resembling blood. And this was brought in, I think, initially for people who were, you know, threatening Garda Síochána with syringes of HIV and all that kind of stuff as well. That was helped, that particular piece of legislation helped at the time. James, what age groups are these kids? Because I haven't seen the videos.
Yeah, so, this is despicable. And when I first heard about this, I was honestly in disbelief. I didn't think anybody could be doing this. And actually, the story I first thought about was someone's granny, actually, that I suppose a family friend was told to me, an elderly lady was out for a walk. A lot of people are very anxious at the moment. A lot of people are on their own, self-isolating. But they tried to get out maybe once a day for kind of walk around the block or, you know, keep the distance, just get a bit of fresh air, get outside the house. And this elderly lady was out doing that, and a couple of youngsters, I think they were probably 16, 17, male, spat at her on the street. In Newbridge, County Kildare. And she recoiled. But what made it even, I mean, as if that wasn't bad enough, then they started shouting about having coronavirus. And now she had it. So pretty horrific.
It'd be quite terrifying for an elderly person. Of course
absolutely.
It is. I mean, they're already terrified, to be honest with you, and that's not going to make things better, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, people are already up on high dough, you know, and high state of anxiety, terrified, and people are keeping the distance from
friends. And what age group are they?
I think the young fellas, I think they were 16, 17, teenagers.
All right, okay.
So I had then heard a second story about another lady walking in another town, and a fella ran up and kind of coughed in her face, kind of laughed. I believe his friend was in the background with a mobile phone videoing it, and then they ran off as well. So it seems what they're trying to do, the kind of game to them, is to try to intimidate or frighten people into thinking that they're giving them the coronavirus, coughing or spitting at them, trying to pass on fluids, deliberately putting themselves in contact with them to intimidate them. I suppose there's a couple of things to it. First of all, it's absolutely despicable and odious in the first place.
Of course it is, yeah.
Somebody would do this. But the second thing, which they may be too stupid to even realise, is that they actually could...
They could actually be indeed doing what they're saying they're doing. Yes, of course.
Because how do they know the habit? Because the stats tell us up to 60% of the Irish population will contract the virus at some stage over this wave. Most of us, thankfully, will get it and recover. But people will get it. But it takes about 2 weeks to actually know if
well,
you
have it. Well, I think the fact you're alluding to there is in Korea, what the statistics said, that up to the age of 30, 80% of people didn't even realise they had it.
Exactly.
So these young people invariably could actually have it, even though they're joking and think they're having a bit of crack at somebody else's expense, and they could invariably be passing it on. Now, under the age of 18, of course, they're considered to be minors. And by the way, there's a disgusting video going around, I think it's in America actually, where some kid, he looks about 17, is saying he has the coronavirus, and he goes into a shop and starts licking all the goods on the shelf, which is vile. But
yeah,
anyway.
And I also heard something similar about young fellows licking or spitting on supermarket trolleys handles. I actually heard that story this morning about a supermarket that I know. Which is again disgusting, risk, and it's the same kind of mentality, same kind of mindset.
Well, where do we go with it with somebody under the age of 18? There's part of me who wants to kick the living shite out of them and say, "You stupid little clown, right? And you're a little scumbag for behaving like that." And you know, I think your parents would have brought you up better than that. And if they're over 18, absolutely full. You know, the law is there to protect us against people like that, you know, behaving in that kind of manner. But the Non-Fatal Offences Act against a person. Can we really start to enforce that on children? When I say children, once they're under 18, you know what I mean? I mean, how far do we take that then? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the simple answer is yes, you can. People can be charged as a minor. I mean, it would be very common in any court in the country to have 16, 17-year-olds up on what's called a Section 3 assault, basically a bus stop at a nightclub where a fella throws a punch. And they're very often offences brought for that. Fellow's been to a scrap, and that gets brought to court if the damage is serious. If somebody breaks a nose, it gets brought to hospital. So you can be prosecuted. I think it's 14 for most offences, and then at the age of 12, I think is the.
Would you not have to prove? I'm not. You know, kind of knocking down your argument, James. I know you're a barrister as well, so you know the law a lot better than I do. But would you not have to prove that the person genuinely did it with the intention of doing it? In other words, that, you know, it's an offence to spray, pour or put onto a person blood of any fluid or substance resembling blood, leading to a person to believe that they have become infected with the disease as a result.
So
would you not have to have some sort of evidence? You know, the kids will just say, look, well, it was a prank, I'm sorry, you know what I mean?
Definitely. So in the criminal law, pretty much every offence in the criminal law, there's a concept of intent. So if you are driving down the street, if you do something, if you kill somebody effectively, or if you hit somebody or injure somebody, there's always a defense to say, I didn't mean to do it, okay? So yeah. it's common.
There was no intent, yes.
Yeah, I didn't intend to do it. So I think in this case, you know, people videoing their mates, etc., I think it shows an intent. Now, they might say they didn't realize how serious it was. You could say it was reckless. They were reckless as to whether they're the concept in law.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could argue the immature mind didn't realize how serious. You know, because obviously this is something very new to us all. And as much as I said to you, I want these, you know, young teenagers to realize what they're doing is very wrong. And it's good that we're talking about this today because if they're listening in the cars with their mams and their dads or they're listening.
And the other thing that will get their mams and dads' attention is actually there was a thing called the Clancy Amendment. Now, people may or may not be aware of this. In the Road Traffic Act a couple of years ago, there was a situation where, again, young fellas and young ladies, maybe in some cases, were taking mams and dads' car and going for a bit of a spin around the place, sometimes with insurance, sometimes not, sometimes speeding, you know, maybe being, again, fairly reckless and fairly mischievous in what they were getting up to in mammy and daddy's car. And the situation was, if they were brought before the courts, oh, you have no insurance, oh, you're a minor, oh, slap on the wrist, off you go.
Yep.
So the law was actually changed. It's called the Clancy Amendment in the Road Traffic Act to say, but now mammy or daddy are liable, because if little Johnny hops in the car and spins off without insurance, does some damage, little Johnny might be off the hook, but big Johnny is in trouble.
Who owns the car?
Exactly.
Unless they claim their own children stole the car.
Well, something like that.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing, I suppose, across all of this...
See, you know, I've watched James over the weekend, you know, the videos and social media and stuff. And there's an element of, you know, kind of the 13 to sort of 17-year-olds are looking at this as some sort of time off school, having the crack with their mates. They're not taking it as seriously as they should. I'm sure their parents are telling them how serious it is. But, you know, there is an element of... now, I don't want to have a go at all young people, because all young people, most of them are very mature about the whole thing, right? Yeah. But there are going to be those scumbags, let's just call it what it is, in society, who don't really give a shite. And, you know, we can kick them, we can tell them until we're blue in the face, and there's nothing really can be done about it. But should we go down the road of criminally charging people who may look back when they're 26 or 27 or 30 and say, what the hell was I up to when I was 17? I should have done that. That's what I'm thinking of, you know what I mean?
Sure. Look, it's like anything in the law. There's a balancing act. I think the reality of it here is, first of all, these fellows, if they persist with this kind of behaviour, and if there's particularly bad examples of it, they can be charged and they can be brought before a court. I think it's important that they know that's a possibility. In reality, if that happens and it goes to a full case and it goes to a judge and the barrister comes in and says, you know, he's a good chap and he doesn't study and he gets good grades and he's really sorry and mea culpa, probably he'll get the Probation Act, probably he'll get
a fine.
He won't walk away with a criminal record. I
think it wouldn't be a bad idea, James. You're probably right to make an example out of somebody and fine somebody for it, to send a strong message out to young people. This is not what you really behave.
So this can be done. I mean, at the moment, they probably think there's no recourse. It's completely without consequence. They can do what they want. They can intimidate people. First of all, they need to be aware that it could actually be spreading the virus. They could actually be doing what they're pretending to do. They could actually be doing it for real, because they could have it themselves. And secondly, there's existing laws. You don't even have to make new laws. There's existing laws on the statute books since the mid-90s that were actually brought in for the HIV epidemic at the time, so they could be punished for doing that. So people need to wise up and get more serious with this.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, TD James Lawless. I appreciate you coming on the air. And I think the strong message out there to parents is please talk to your children about the way they're behaving at the moment, particularly in those extreme circumstances with this so-called silliness of, you know, pretending they're spreading the coronavirus by coughing into people's faces. It's absolutely disgusting and ridiculous. Let me go to Matt Corley, who's a political columnist with the Times in the UK. Go ahead. You're on line two. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, how you doing?
Matt, I mean, what was the reaction yesterday to Boris Johnson's announcement? I mean, so far, what has been the reaction? And is it because people in the UK, similar to people over here last weekend, kind of took this as a bank holiday weekend and really didn't comply?
Yeah, I think of all the people to blame, I think the weather was a big part of it. It just, the sort of perfect storm, but it wasn't a storm. It was beautiful, sunny, beautiful, was in the air. And everybody thought, well, if we've got to just keep our distance, we'll, you know, it'll be all right if we go to the beach or yeah. we go to the mountains or whatever. And, of course, you know, thousands of people did the same thing. I also think to some extent, although I'm not one who buys a lot of the criticism of Boris Johnson, let's be honest, this is an awful thing for any government to be having to deal with, and all governments have struggled in their own ways, but some of the messaging was a little bit, you know, would you mind also if you didn't go to the pub? And then in the
it
end,
was kind of almost like an advisory rather than a request, so to speak. I get that. And that's happened here, by the way, too. We're kind of now in the same boat. There was an argument for a while that Britain were kind of lagging about a week behind us. But now Britain have kind of overtaken us somewhat with the restrictions. Now, we have an announcement today at 3 o'clock, which, in fact, invariably will probably be a lot of the similar restrictions of no more than two people in a group and unnecessary services and shops closing. But how is that going to affect business? As Boris' main concern seemed to be up to last week, business as usual in the United Kingdom. But now he seems to have backtracked. I mean, people must be losing confidence in him at this stage.
Well, a little bit, although interestingly, the polling shows that Boris Johnson's favourability ratings have rocketed in the last week, a positive 20%. So all the people are favourable, take away the people who are unfavourable. He's now positive 20%. He hasn't been definitely like that for the last 5 years, possibly ever. Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, he's also shot up. I think to some extent people are looking at their leaders, and this is happening right around the world, and just thinking, I just hope you know what you're doing. I'm going to put my faith in you, because frankly, that's all we've...
But Boris doesn't seem to know what he's doing, because kind of last week it was kind of, let's get the herd immunity going, sure, and look, a few people are going to die, but sure, that'll be grand. But now we're kind of going down, well, the other countries are doing this strategy, so we better do it too. And that seems to be the way he's doing it. I think he was more concerned about protecting the economy up to, you know, a week and a half ago than he was about protecting people.
I don't totally buy that. I do think that there is a point, and all of the science has said this all the way along, there is a point where total shutdown was likely, but doing it 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually, there wasn't a lot of point, because there weren't that many cases in the UK.
Yeah.
You have a total shutdown, and everybody stays indoors. You're basically keeping people who don't have it away from other people who don't have it. And we could have done that for 3 weeks for no great benefit, sort of epidemiologically. And then maybe you lift them, and then it all blows up again. So
yeah, because you can't lock down for too long, obviously. Yes,
because then people get bored of it, start thinking, well, maybe I can pop to the beach again, and we get a repeat of what happened last weekend.
Yeah. So the general reaction from people, I suppose, and I haven't really been watching British media much this morning, but the general reaction seems okay to it. People don't seem to be appalled by this. They probably expected it, to be honest with you, Matt. And I think we expect it probably here too in the coming days too to have some level of lockdown. I don't believe we'd go down the route of Italy. Do you think, you know, that he may go down the route of Italy or Spain in, as he said, 3 weeks when he revisits this again? Do you think he may have to go down that route if nothing happens?
I think it's really difficult, and we don't have in the UK a sort of tradition like you do in, particularly in France, where they, you know, inevitably, even in a crisis like this, France have come up with another bit of paper that you've got to fill in, because they do love a form, even in a crisis.
Italy have the same thing. We had a caller on a reporter from Italy last week where you have to apply to the local town hall to get a slip of paper to nip to the shops, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's just not a very sort of British response to something like this. And bluntly, you know, the police, despite Boris Johnson's promise to hire lots of police during the election campaign in December, we don't have them now. And if we do have spare police officers, then maybe, you know, supporting the NHS, making sure that people get to the right place at the right time, is probably better than rounding up people who don't have a slip of paper because they happen to be in the park when they shouldn't have been. In the end, I also think this comes down to all of us. Then instead of pointing and saying, well, why aren't the police stopping this? And why aren't, you know...
Why aren't we stopping it? Yeah, absolutely.
A community responsibility to all take responsibility for what we're doing. And maybe if we are out on our once a day constitutional piece of exercise while keeping our distance from everyone else, if people aren't doing what they should be doing, maybe say so. You know, say good morning to the people who are doing what they should be doing and point out to other people that they shouldn't. And, you know, whether that's, you know, friends on Facebook or speaking to your friends and family on the phone, every time somebody says, oh, no, I'll be all right, I was just going to pop, relatives who keep saying, well, I'll be all right, I'll pop to Tesco's. Like, no, you're in the vulnerable group. You've got to stay in for 12 weeks. You know, it's on us as well. We can't just
Well, a lot of these places now are doing deliveries and offering to do deliveries to avoid those people, those vulnerable people
exactly
having to go there.
Yeah.
And by the way, how is this, just finally, how is this going to affect Boris's budget for this? Because last week or during the week, he was talking about somewhere in the region of 350 billion. I mean, how is this going to affect his budget now where you're going to see more businesses close, more people claiming that 80% of salary up to 2,500 per month? How is this going to affect his budget? This is going to certainly increase that budget, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, talk about politics is not normal anymore. It was only, what, 2 weeks ago we had the actual budget in the UK when there was £12 billion for dealing with coronavirus. Last week, it became £250 billion. I actually think a lot of the package announced last week had one eye on what is happening this week in terms of getting these schemes up and running ready for when businesses started closing. But you're right. I mean, the economic impact of all this and also the political impact of just what is and isn't acceptable now for governments to do in the future. You know, the next
I think they have to do everything they can. I mean, they've just they're buying shares in British Airways now just to keep them afloat.
Exactly right. Yeah. But just the idea, it's amazing that a few months ago we were having a row about whether or not the Tories were going to privatise the NHS and sell it off to Donald Trump. Right now the Tories are taking over private hospitals and bringing them into the NHS. You know, everything has been turned on its head.
Well, you know Donald would buy it as well, by you, mind you. And he's gone down a completely different route this morning. He turned around and said now, next week he's lifting the restrictions and it's business as usual in the United States. So you never know what Donald is up to here. But I'm sure he'll change his plan again before the end of the week. I mean, there'll be more public pressure on him. Listen, it's been wonderful talking to you. Matt Chorley, political columnist with The Times. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the air and I appreciate it. There you go. That's just what's happening in the UK. Would you like to see that happening here, by the way? Would you believe today at 3 o'clock that announcement should include, unnecessary businesses closing? Do you believe it should include not travelling in groups of more than two people? And do you believe it should include that people should be fined if indeed they break the rules? Because people are breaking the rules constantly, every day, all day. Also, the construction industry have said that they don't, well, some of them have said they don't want to close, that they're abiding by the, you know, social distancing rules. Although, to be honest with you, we have construction going on across the road from us here at Classic Hits, and I've seen people not abiding by social distancing rules. Maybe they're best friends and they're happy enough to do that. That's what they want to do, but they have to think of other people that they might be in contact with during the day as well. All right, I want to just hear some of your calls. You can call us right now. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. And let us know exactly how this is affecting you. What are you doing currently at this very moment in time to stop yourself from getting it and to make sure that you're not one of those people who are a very, very vulnerable situation? Robbie, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Robbie? I'm going to lose my voice, I'll be honest with you. I was trying to shout over that music there.
It's a hard life.
It is, yeah. Just hear it. Just look, it just doesn't stop. Sorry, Robbie.
It was the Flintstones.
I know it was the Flintstones, yeah. Robbie, what are you doing?
I'm working.
Good?
Well,
doing a bit anyway. Okay, and what do you work at, by the way, Robbie? What do you do? You don't have to tell me where, but...
I work for domestic waste recycling.
All right, okay. So all that kind of stuff has to still happen. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We'll be our front line. I'm one of those people that if you build a statue for me.
Yeah, so I mean, because let's be clear about it. Even when you do have a lockdown situation, and people maybe don't really fully understand that, everybody isn't out of work because there are services. Like people still have to man, you know, the ESB networks still have to be there. Exactly. The people who man the mobile phone networks still have to be there. People who look after broadband because it's important to us still have to be there. People who work in shops, recycling waste or bin men. All those things still have to be done.
They do.
Otherwise, we end up in a bigger problem.
Yeah, some people don't realise what an essential services are. I mean, imagine your bins not being collected for like 6 weeks. You know,
well, that would be worse than any virus because we would have rat infestations. Yeah.
You'd have more diseases coming out of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you need the likes of them. The building sites, I seen there was kind of a debate, discussion going on Twitter last night. I was reading up it, and some people that were saying that they need to keep building because they're not near each other on the building sites, and it's an essential service because we need housing and all that.
Yeah.
I kind of don't agree with that, but, you know, I would say guards, firemen, nurses, doctors, domestic waste collection, retail in certain retail areas. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm not in the construction industry, but I know the problem in construction is that a lot of it would be self-employed people or self-employed contractors.
You're still beast, yeah.
Yeah, and I know a lot of those people are worried and concerned about Well, money, which is, by the way, we all have to worry about our health. That's really important. Money, unfortunately, is important for us as well as human beings because it's part of our lifestyle. And yeah. Nobody wants to see their way of life and their standard of living change, even though we care. We want to keep trying our best to keep our standard of living for our family. And I understand that.
And I mean, I think the standard of living is changing for the short term. I think it's something I tweeted there last night. Welcome to the 80s, you know, and a few people got a good laugh out of it, you know. And it was kind of like, I think the bonus that it's the cancellation of the car insurance and the mortgages and so on. But of course, they're going to put the interest on top of that as well. But that's another story. But I think that kind of helps where people aren't under that kind of stress and pressure that they would
be. Well, I don't agree with you. I don't believe the government have done enough or anywhere close to enough.
Oh, no, I don't think they have.
I mean, this mortgage holiday is a load of nonsense, by the way. This is pandering to banks again. Yeah. It cost $46 billion back in 2009 to bail out the banks of this country. Realistically, the better the people will cost a lot less than that this time around.
I agree with you.
Because it's not going to go more than 6 months. 6 months will cost $7.5 billion. That's to pay people 80% of their salaries, right? Or up to $2,500 a month. Right. And tomorrow, I think they are going to make an announcement in relation to that. And I think the announcement, we're guessing at the moment, and I don't want to preempt it, it'll be somewhere along the lines of what Sinn Féin have spoken about, which is 70% of people's salary, which I think is going to be a great help to people.
Absolutely.
And it will relieve the mental pressure of losing your job.
It will.
But in saying that, there are other things. The banks, you know, need to get a good kick in the hole because 3 months and then telling people after 3 months, well, that's grand, you have to start paying again. Oh, and by the way, you owe us the last 3 months, so we're going to recapitalise that with interest onto your mortgage or at the end of your mortgage. That's not good enough. It needs to be a holiday. In other words, there should be an announcement today. All mortgages are suspended for the next 3 months. And in 3 months' time, let's review the situation. And if we can't go back to it yet, or maybe we're still in lockdown or whatever, well, then it needs to be, you know, extended a little bit. But that, from that point, we all have to start paying again. And I think that should be just done across the board. Let's get on.
I mean, I was having that conversation with my wife. And the whole thing is that, and I'm not saying, oh, poor us and give us a pat on the back. But in the last 15 years, the people of this country have gone through the coronavirus.
Absolutely.
We've gone through financial meltdown.
Yep.
We've bailed
austerity.
Out
we bailed out the country. Yes, we did.
Yeah, we know more about how the ECB works than any country in the world. We know about this coronavirus. We know what it's like. I was kind of in the 80s as well, so we kind of came from that, you know. But I thought the last few years were harder with the mortgages and so on and so forth. And I think that the Irish people have heard a brunt, like, that I think not many people have around the world. Now, I'm not saying that there's other countries that are in worse situations than us, but like, there's a generation that know more about stuff than they shouldn't know about. That's kind of the point I'm making, you know. And I think after all of this, I'm hoping that the world takes a step back and says, do you know what? Having a swipe at somebody on Twitter just because they have a silly argument or a small point of view that differs from mine.
All kind of pales into insignificance, doesn't it? Yeah, and I've noticed that when we watch Sky News or RT News at the moment, the whole news, of course, has been taken up by coronavirus. Yeah. And I'm saying, okay, is there nothing else in the world that happening at the moment that's that important? And clearly there isn't, right? So in other words, that all those other stories, many of those other stories, really weren't that important in the first place.
Exactly. You know, and it means that I don't like Sinn Féin or I don't like Fine Gael. Okay, you don't like them, but Jesus Christ, you know, get a grip and you don't have to be venomous about it. And like, just because somebody says, yes, I follow Liverpool or I follow Man United, you don't have to call him a gobshite or an arsehole or something because of it. Yes, just because he followed that team. And I think people, hoping that people take a step back and kind of go, do you know what? Look what's happened around the world. Let's all just kind of be a little bit. I know it's all kumbaya and let's hug each other, you know, that type of thing. But let's all kind of get a grip of ourselves.
Oh, sure. Look, people are having a go at me on Twitter at the moment saying, oh, suddenly I'm in favour of socialism, right? Because obviously I agree with Sinn Féin's policies on this particular time and this particular situation. But I'm only agreeing with it because it's solidarity. I don't agree with socialism. I agree with solidarity. And I think at a time like this.
Because it's right.
Yeah, and socialism and solidarity are two different things. You know what I mean?
And you know, I'm not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination. I don't agree with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, but I think Leo was right to come on the telly the other night. You know, let's all get together, let's all be one here, and let's all work together. Now, that was a bit silly if Leo to come out the other day and say that I want to have a national government, but leave in Sinn Féin aside, like, that's not very, you know, national,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But, like, I think in the grand scheme of things, I think we all are going through this together, and we all need to get through this together. And when we come out the other side of it, I think we just need to kind of have a step back and say, look, things aren't as bad as we thought they were. Now, we do have issues that we need to resolve in and around health and housing. And
mind you, this kind of, you know, the whole housing crisis has kind of paled into a little bit of insignificance at the moment, although it is significant for a lot of people who are still in that situation. But Robbie, stay there, because I have to go to break as well. I'm sorry, I always feel like I'm cutting you short, Robbie. Paul, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Paul?
Well, how are you?
Good. Paul, you believe that we don't have sufficient guards for lockdown?
I do, yeah. I don't think we have. And I mean, I don't think we have sufficient guardia, and I don't think we have sufficient defence forces personnel. Mm-hmm. Because you have to remember, every city and major town in the country would have to be
supervised,
policed, you know. And
well, I think the argument is we hope that people will just comply, and, you know, if there are one or two people caught here and there and get a fine, well, it might send a strong message out to others. I mean, look, we know people are not going to stay in their houses. Not everybody. People are going to take a chance on an unnecessary journey or an unnecessary trip to a shop that they don't really have to do. But I suppose it's just to get the message out there that if you do that, there's a good chance you could get a fine.
Yeah, but I still don't think that's... I don't think even a fine would be enough to disencourage them from going out and doing things that they don't need to do.
But Paul, the message is out. I know. But Paul, the message is out there, right?
It is. Yeah,
They're not listening. I know. No. But look, in fairness, 80% of people are listening. There's 20% who are not.
And 20% is a lot now.
I know, yeah. And if today we bring in more stringent measures, that will reduce that 20% maybe down to 10 or 5%. Mm. And realistically, Paul, at some point, you know, as you've heard the experts and the virologists and all these other epidemiologists and other people like that have said in relation to this particular epidemic or this pandemic, at some point, most of us are probably going to get it. All we're trying to do is slow it down. So I don't think, and they've already said the evidence from other countries shows that the lockdown, although it's a good thing to do in some countries, they have different ways of dealing with things, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference, provided we can get people just to comply. And I think we can do that without some sort of going around, you know, shooting people who are walking on the streets.
Oh, right. No.
But there are countries, I've seen countries in the world who are taking it very seriously.
There's a lot of them I wouldn't mind having a shot at.
Well, some of these little scumbags who don't seem to care, yeah. I agree. I think if most people comply, I think we only lead a compliance level of about 90% for this to work.
Yeah. Something my wife said to me today, you know, and I agree with her. A lot of the people that were preaching to us about climate control now are the people that...
Yep.
Not doing what they're supposed to do.
Ah, yeah. Same 16-year-old teenagers that were wandering, taking days off school and telling us all how we should live our lives are the same ones that are probably out now hanging around beaches with their mates.
Yeah. And by the way, I agree with you and your callers about the banks. It's payback time now, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm not very happy with Pascal O'Donoghue. I think this, you know, announcing and keep announcing that, oh, we got you a 3-month holiday in your mortgage, that's not good enough. That's not good enough.
I think... In fairness to the government, to the politicians, I think they're learning as they go along.
Yeah, they've a lot to do.
We've never came across anything like this before, you know.
Yeah, no, I did applaud them the other day for the steps that they have taken so far, but there's a lot more to do.
I think they'll do it too. I think they're learning as they go along. But I also think the EU will have to give us a bit of all these countries a dig out as well, you know.
Yeah.
Financially, you know.
All right, okay. I'm just looking in, by the way. News is just coming in that the government will now pay 70% of an employee's wages, up to €410 per week, for businesses who are willing to meet the remainder of the staff's weekly payment. So in other words, if you're a business out there listening, okay, they've just announced and you have a business and you have staff, the government will give you 70% of your staff's wages, up to €410. Just work that out there quickly, Ashley. Divide by 10, multiply by 7, that's 70% of €410 per week. Still doesn't go far enough, I don't personally believe, because there's a lot of people earning more than €410 per week. That isn't, I'm sorry, but that doesn't work. That doesn't go far enough.
We'll get it back again anyway.
But that's what I'm saying, but that doesn't go far enough. That's essentially saying we're increasing the €203 up to what? Just work it out there for me, Ashley. I think it's about €340. Euro.
Your maths are good now.
Yeah, but okay. So I mean, that's not going to work out, because in the UK they're up to 2,500. We expected Sinn Féin had suggested up to 2,500 or up to 32,000 per year. that's not going to cut it at all, because there's a lot of people earn more than €410 a week. So €410 a week, if you have a mortgage of 1,600 quid, is feck all used to you.
I know people on the dole are nearly getting that.
Yeah, no, that's... No. I'm sorry, all they've done is change the... Regina already admitted she was wrong the other day and admitted that it wasn't enough money. And all they've done is essentially change the wording of it.
Bit of window dressing.
Yeah, and that's, of course, and this is, by the way, to encourage businesses to retain staff while they close to keep them on the books. We'll talk about that more, as John will obviously talk about it in the news as well. But just to give you, that's the latest news in, the government have said they'll pay 70% of employees' wages to employers of up to €410 per week for businesses who are willing to meet the remainder of their staff's weekly payment. Well, I suppose it's not too, look, it's twice what they were willing to pay before. But it may not go up enough. But we'll talk about self-employed and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure we'll get all the details of that. It's a little bit late in the show to get into it now. Let me go to Eamon. Eamon, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Eamon?
How you doing, Niall? What's happening?
Good. Eamon, you're working on a building site. Still no sign of it shutting.
Not a hope in hell.
Right, and what are you doing on the building site, by the way? What do you do yourself?
I drive a machine.
Right, okay. So you're kind of on your own anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit of a loner, Niall, but don't spread the word.
Right, but and do you think the people on the site, are they adhering to social distancing?
Majority of them are, Niall, to be fair. But like, there is places, like, if you're pouring concrete or something like that, you're going to be in close contact with other people. You can't do it on your own sort of thing, you know what I mean?
But can you not just kind of stand about 2 metres away from somebody?
Because you're pouring concrete into a hole, you know? It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But like majority of the people are, because there's loads of machines here. Like machine men, I'm not saying we're not going to get it, but we're not socialising on the site, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and when you're, I seen a great picture yesterday outside the Bank of Ireland in Dublin, and there was two lads, and they're in all their, you know, protective gear and everything else, their hard hats on them and a whole lot, and they were sitting on a wall about 3 metres apart, and they had a ruler in between them. And they were eating their rolls.
No, but I don't know. I like if it is going to come in. I don't know whether it's going to what's going to be essential work and what's not going to be essential work. It's a thin line. You know what I mean?
I think they're going to ramp up the measures today. I don't know whether that'll include construction or not. That's hard to say at the moment. I think 3 o'clock they're announcing all this. I think it'll be stuff like, for example, in garages, you know, the burger joint in the garage will have to close and you can just pay for your diesel or your petrol. I think, you know, cafes, restaurants who might be still open, who are social distancing and keeping that social distance, they'll all have to close. I think, you know, takeaways, there might be a problem. I don't know. I don't know exactly. I'm just guessing.
Nobody knows is the problem.
Yeah, and I think they most likely will say, well, look, could you just not go out in groups of more than two? And I think that all that kind of stuff, it will be common sense stuff, but the government will be just telling us once again and telling us how to do it, you know what I mean? And just, by the way, for people who didn't know that news there, I don't think it goes far enough, but the government have said the unemployed payment to rise to 350 per week, and the government will pay 70% of retained worker salaries up to 410. So the current 305 or €3 will go up to 350 per week. That's if you're out of work already, if you've been let go and you're not at work. But they're also offering to pay employers to keep people on up to 70% of the salary up to €410. I don't think that part goes enough of the way, and I still think 350 is too little for people who have earned a lot more than that and have to pay bills. But anyway, look, we'll talk a bit more tomorrow, to be honest with you.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.